Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Welcome all.
Welcome.
Welcome everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. This episode is about the decisions we make. And it's actually James's idea. Why don't you walk us through the context of all of this, James?
Okay, sure. So this idea really stems around, obviously, we all know that we're all trying to find meaning and purpose and our best life. But we're all faced with decisions, and everything in life compounds either for you or against you. Mm-hmm. And if we make really good decisions, if it's a good decision after a good decision after a good decision, it's amazing with any compounding result where that can take us. And Einstein always said one of the seventh wonders of the world, or eighth wonders, or whatever it was at the time, is compound interest. But if you compound your decision-making process, I would argue that that will have a much larger impact, or against you if it's, you know, compounding bad decisions for your life. And if you think about it, I was with my father in the car, just as a bit of a story, and this is where it can go against you. We were driving, this was in December, and my father was visiting, because we live in Abu Dhabi, my father was visiting, and he was in the passenger seat of the car, and somebody completely cut in front of us, and to a point where it actually touched our car, but it was minor. But it could have been one of them situations where I could have easily got out, and I would have, you know, been a normal thing to do to get out, you know, go and knock on his door. What on earth have you done? You've just smashed into the side of us. And it was a car. You could just tell it was a driver that was being aggressive. It wasn't an accident. It was an accident, but it wasn't somebody that just, you know, didn't see us. It was an intentional maneuver to try and get through and cut in. And then they ended up hitting the car. And I could have made the decision at the time to go shouting, ranting and raving. And my dad was flying out that evening. And it could have ended up in, and I had the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I actually had this conversation with my dad after, and we didn't do anything. So nothing happened. And my dad ended up on the plane and going back, and we ended up having a nice evening before he flew. But what could have happened if I made a bad choice and compounded that bad choice, it could have been an argument which ended up in a pushing and a shoving, which you see often on, you know, happening on the sidewalk or on, you know, on videos of people that are getting into road rage. And then me getting, you know, the police coming, because we end up getting in a scuffle, someone calls the police, I end up in jail, I don't get to see my dad going, you know, for the flight. Because I'm in jail for a few days, you end up, you know, losing clients, losing the business. You could lose your marriage as a result. So you just by one incident and then compounding bad results can actually have a huge impact on your life. And that actually, believe it or not, kind of flashed before me when the guy hit the car. And not to the point of losing the marriage and things, but flashing, going, if I get out of this car right now and go and confront this guy, look at what could end up happening. So anyway, nothing happened, and, you know, it was handled, and he just drove off, and we didn't do anything.
But if, and no if negative we, effects. Yeah.
Zero. And I got to spend, you know, evening with my father before he traveled. Everything was nice and peaceful, dropped him off at the airport, and everything was great. But then if we flip that on the other side and say, we talk about getting the best results possible, you know, how many good decisions are we away from our best life? You know,
I love this topic, because I think we find ourselves the result of many decisions that we aren't as intentional about. So, you know, it's unusual to have that moment of space and self-reflection when someone cuts you off in the car, to go, oh, what might happen here? And to think like it's insightful and wise of you to have done that. How many times do you find yourself at the flip, the other side of it with the, oh crap, I made the wrong choice there, which led to this, which led to that from a negative standpoint too. Like we see it in our health lives too. Like we know what we need to do to, you know, be healthier, be the best, healthiest, highest energetic version of ourselves. And then we make the bad decision. And one bad decision, like, I don't know, you drink a bottle of wine at night and the next morning you don't work out. And then you're hungry and craving salty food. So you go buy French fries or like, and so then you actually find yourself at the tail end of a series of negative decisions as well, without really the forethought, the foresight to know, right? And so I love your topic because it's a opportunity to get intentional and think about the long-term positive impact, not just the
Because
short-term.
that's it. It's the compounding. Like if I guess the purpose of this is to not look at the isolated decision, is to look at if I make this decision and it continues in the same way, let's say 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, where am I going to be? And I've had conversations with clients before where we've talked about making the right investment decisions. If I make 15 to 20 really good decisions with investments, no matter where you start at, it's never really the starting point. But if I can execute 15 to 20 really good decisions and investments time after time after time, I can end up with, let's say, $10, $20 million. And
Okay,
it is as simple as that.
can we break that down a little bit? Because people can intuitively understand the I made the wrong health decision and I didn't work out and all that. But I'd love to hear from you because I don't live in the world that you live in with the investment decisions. Like, what would that look like for somebody? Not that you're prescribing a plan, but what does one good investment decision look like, built on another, kind of like an exercise or fitness plan? It's like, I'm going to get up and run today and then tomorrow lift weights and whatever. What does that look like in the world of your financial health?
I mean, it takes a it's a really it's it is actually a great question, and it's not an easy one to answer because there's a big element of uncertainty that you can't control. Like you can control your habits. You can control making good decisions on your health. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to drink a lot of water. I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I'm not going to have alcohol. And with investments, I think everybody goes into an investment with the right intention and with the right activity, but they might not always get the right execution. And there are no guarantees with investments, as we all know, or in life really, apart from say death and tax. It's trying to. I'm not advocating any advice here and saying, come and invest with me. But I'm saying, whenever you make investment decisions, you have to go into it with, is the investment serving you, or you're just going in to an investment for the sake of it? So it's trying to make sure that if, let's say, it's like a game of snakes and ladders, okay, and you're trying to move up the board and you're trying to catch the ladder all the time to elevate you to the next position. And if you make the wrong decision, you slide back down the snake and you go back down to where you've started, or even, you've gone backwards. And so it's firstly, it's looking at the investments and saying, is this going to actually be the ladder that, if I get it right, is going to elevate me to the next position and the path that I'm trying to choose? And if it is, then you then do all the due diligence around that type of investments to make sure that, okay, what is the likelihood of this actually executing and doing, giving me what I want? And the kind of snake, if you like it, decisions are kind of the ones where we look at it and go, well, it was obvious I shouldn't have made that decision. The writing was on the wall. I should have done my due diligence. I invested and someone cold called me and said there was this great investment in Indonesia. And it was a one-time, you hear them sometimes in clients go, oh, I've gone and made this decision. It's like, it's obvious that you shouldn't have taken that route. But
It's so compelling in the moment. It's kind of like the bag of Doritos when you're hungry. Like, oh, that looks like it's going to be really good.
exactly. But it's just making it's like anything. We need the information to make the decision. And when we wake up in the morning, often a lot of the choices that we make, if it's about habits and habituals, brushing the teeth, having a good night's sleep, drinking water, the good things in the morning, if you set the habits with not just investments, but with anything, and you put a structure in place, and the structure is that you want to elevate up to that next, bottom step of the next ladder, then you can find a way of, even if the execution, or the type of, let's say, for example, you want to go to the gym, okay, and you need to travel next week for work, and you said, I'm going to go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but I'm traveling next week and I'm in a different country. And I don't have the gym which I've joined. So you either go, well, I'm traveling, so do you know what? I'll skip it this week. Or you go, well, no, hang on a second. There is still a
Hotels have
gym
gym.
in the. Exactly. So, okay, it's not perfect, but I know it's going to keep me on that forward momentum. And if I don't make them three decisions next week to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm now, that's like getting on the snake and you go backwards. But it's not perfect, but it's actually taking me one step closer towards, it's probably not jumping up to the bottom step of the next ladder, but it's moving me up, one step on the ladder that I'm currently on, and then I'll get another opportunity to move up. And so it's looking at, okay, where is the strategic next ladders to help me with the decision-making processes to change my life? And then making sure that you've got the habits and the support system around. So, most people have got an advisor or somebody in the country that they will work with, that they trust. This is obviously, this was never designed to talk about investments, by the way.
I know, I just was
I'm
curious.
not doing this
I like the
to
topic
promote
now,
investment.
though. Well, I was.
My question is what are we investing in?
No, we're not going there on the podcast. But it, but
No,
if
no, no.
if
I don't mean the details of
yeah.
money investments, because my mind right now is like I'm taking notes here, and right away I'm thinking, holy cow! Like I've invested a lot in myself, right? And I'm listening to your story with your dad, and I can't even imagine you getting out of the car and getting pissed off at someone. It's not your character, right?
No,
And then I
no.
sit back and I'm like, okay, what was the compounding investment that you made in yourself in order to make the right decision, in order to support your dad, and so on and so forth, right? And the book that comes up for me is The Slight Edge. Have either of you read
No,
the book
no.
Slight Edge? Oh,
No, who
so
wrote that?
Jeff Olson. Oh, this is like a I
Okay.
probably have it behind me. Maybe it's one of my go-tos.
That's, I've
So,
never heard of it. I
oh,
love
it's
books.
so good. It's so it's simple and it's so good. And I'll just give you a quick premise of the book. His whole thing is when you do something consistently over time. Initially, you can't see the difference and you can't see the change. And you create a slight edge either towards the things that you want, or you can create a slight edge of the things that you don't want. Okay. So, have you heard the question of would you rather have a penny doubled every day for 30 days or $1 million? You ever heard of that one? Okay. And, for the most part, people hear the $1 million and go, give me the $1 million now. But they don't realize that a penny doubled every day. I think it's 15 million at the end of 30 days. And it's like, holy jumping. And what happens is it's one little decision at a time, and you don't think anything's happening and there's no change. And it's easy to be taken out by it. For example, going to another city with the gym, right? All of a sudden, there's a slight change. And then here's the test, either you keep going or you stop, and then you may go the other way. But there's a critical point where you get an exponential curve and an exponential shift. I think a strategic coach, they call it the compound catalyst. That's what it is.
Oh yeah,
So,
I like that.
okay, so there's a critical point where once you hit it, and in NLP language, we'd say it happens after 90 days because your unconscious mind just got reprogrammed. Then you get that compounding effect where you start seeing the results. Okay, and that's where the magic unfolds. So, it's a great book. I mean,
The
it
slight
explains
edge.
it. Slight Edge. The other thing that came up in terms of the financial piece, and James, you've helped me with this, in terms of money mindset, right? So there's another great book called The Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, and he used to have a program. And it's not necessarily about the financials, it's about the mindset around money. Okay, because we run unconscious programs based on how we're brought up and who we listen to and so on and so forth. And it's allocating. Actually, one of the things that he made us do, which is interesting, every day, no matter how much you put into your piggy bank, I can't remember what he called it, but you take money and you put it in. 10
Like
cents.
actual money,
Actual money. 10 cents,
like
20
not in the
cents.
bank. You
In
put it
your piggy
actually.
bank. Actual your little jar. Oh, he calls them jars. So every day you contribute to your jar, right? A penny, 2 pennies, 5 pennies, right? And you write it down, like how much you wrote, because you think it's insignificant, right? But what happens, you keep putting the money in because then you're aware of contributing a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Okay.
Yeah, I
And
love
then
that.
the other thing that he suggested is that we allocate the amount of money that we bring in, you allocate into separate jars. So one of them is a savings jar, one's a spending jar, one's a contribution jar, one's an education jar, and then you have the main one, which is the necessities jar, which
Was gonna
then,
say, where do you, where's the mortgage jar?
right, so that's the necessities jar. And then you start becoming aware of your expenses now because you start realizing how much is in available in the necessities jar. And if your expenses are more than that, we have a problem. So awareness is the key thing. And then once you start becoming aware, you start realizing unconsciously what you think around money. So now I have an investment jar, right? A savings jar. Here's where James comes in. And this is actually a true story. And I said, James, I'm super conservative. I don't even know, do I have enough? Is this, how do we think? You know, stock market's not my thing. Give me real estate, something solid, and I'm happy. And then James went and looked and could see my money program, the financial program running. And then I trusted him, let loose in terms of what was blocking me and saying, all right, now we see where the blocks are. Let's talk opportunities. So here's where James, actually, Mary, you're involved in this too. It's like, what decisions can you make now that are going to compound based on your future and what your purpose is?
Right. That's what I wanted to
Bam.
get back to.
Then it switched. So James, you can take over from here because, or
And
Mary.
just one thing as well on that, and the jars definitely works. Like I've with some families that have really struggled to celebrate vacations, I got them to, so the jars is a great way of doing it, but I got them to do a vacation jar and to physically put jointly the money in. And when they would go away for the vacations, they would withdraw the money and pay for it, you know, through the card, but in cash. And they would say to me that they had such better, they enjoyed the vacation so much more because they'd actually felt like they were the ones which had bought it rather than just chucking it on a credit card and paying for it after. Yeah, they work.
I love that. It
But
made me just
I
think about purpose
go.
because I think about, and I'm going to bring this back to health for a second because, you know, where I am today in terms of health and wellness is massively different than where I was 20 years ago. And I would say I'm probably healthier, stronger, more conscious now than I was then, which makes sense because you're learning and you're growing. But it is the compounding effect, which I didn't know at the time. I look back and I go, oh, geez, when I started making that decision, then I started making another decision that was good. Then I started, you know, and to say to somebody who's not doing any of that today would feel overwhelming. But for me, it's all about incremental change. So I remember, and I was having this conversation with one of my teammates who's, you know, a young mom who's trying to juggle career and all the demands and then energy levels and intention and motivation and all that stuff. And I said, you know, gosh, it was probably 20, 18 years ago that I started running again. And I remember I just started saying to myself every morning, does today get better or worse if I run or don't run? And every day I asked that question and you know, the answer was always the day is always better if I go for a run. And that, you know, would be true whether I had a good night's sleep or not, or whether it was a 20-minute run or a 40-minute run. It is always better when I run. So since I, and that was the simple question I asked myself every day, which gets back to I want to have a good experience every day. I want to feel like I'm making those good decisions. And so that micro decision every day started a path of I mean, I do something physically active every single day, sometimes twice a day. I'm very intentional about what I eat now. I became a yoga instructor. Gosh, I studied positive psychology after this, and the power of mindset, NLP, like all of these things have been, I don't know if they're directly related to that micro decision I made at the time when I started running every day, but they are certainly part of the life that I created based on those little decisions.
And
So
there's a
looking
compounding effect.
100% it is. I didn't know it at the time, and I think it'd be worthwhile for people because it can feel overwhelming to go, well, I'd like $10 million, or I'd like to be the fittest version of myself. I love that goal and having a compelling why around it. But it'd be good for people to look back at their life and say, okay, where have decisions I made compounded either plus or minus? Like, where did this net positively in my life, these decisions, and where not? To learn from the experience, because they'll see it. And then it's kind of an easier, okay, so I did that before. Now I want to go do this in my financial life, or I want to go do it in my career life or my relationship life or whatever, right?
It's interesting because the thing that's popping up in my head is when we found out that Gabriel had cerebral palsy and he was 2 years old, the first thing that came into my mind is at some point, like, I need to be healthy to take care of him.
Right.
And that was the push for me to start the one little thing at a time, because working out was awful. I mean, I was in pain for 3, 4 days afterwards. I don't remember if the juicing started, but my morning ritual just started. I juice every morning, meditate every morning. I work out 3 to 5 times a week. But the morning ritual basically started from that one decision, which was based on a big challenge. And now I'm
Right.
curious, thinking back, I wonder if I got pushed with challenges first before it started the. Just thinking now.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's really
Because
interesting.
we are the result of compounding decisions already. And if you
Yeah.
look at that, then you can be more intentional about those micro decisions that you make every day. Yeah. That's
But
powerful
it's
stuff.
interesting because I think so there's compounding decisions and then there's like miniature habits, right? So I think, for example, if we say exercising would be a compounding decision, but then if we then decide to go to the gym the next day, I myself, I wouldn't see that as a compounding decision again. I would say my compounding decision is I'm going to exercise, 4 times a week with no excuses, non-negotiable 4 times a week. Rain or shine, I'm going. And that's a compound decision. If we go to the gym 4 times that week, there should be a pat on the back to say, well done, you've nailed it this week. But I think that's one compounding decision. And I think if I
Not
look back
four.
and I no, that
Got
going
it.
to the
Yeah.
exercising is one compounding decision.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
I think we need to find between 5 and 10 compounding decisions, because I don't think you one on its own you can attribute to a success. I think you
Yeah.
need a contribution of compounding decisions. I think you need between 5 and 10 to, or let's say between 4 and 8 to actually have a result at the other side. And I don't always know whether or not your result is going to be what you intended it to be, because we
Right.
can't predict that with life, right? Even though we go, right, that's my goal.
Yeah.
But I think, if you want to become fit and healthy, it can't be just exercising. It has to be the food that we eat. But I think it could be, meditating, getting up another couple of hours earlier, maybe spending less time on social media, hanging out with better choice of friends. There could be 20, 30 things to work on. But I
Yeah.
think if we say, right, I'm this year, or we're now in March, we're about to enter into April, we've got, 8 months left. I want to start each month one new compounding activity that I can,
Right,
which
so
I
you're
am. I have
adding.
a question for you guys. What would you say the five habits that you've called 3 to 5 habits that you've cultivated that have created the successes that you have right now? Would you be able to pinpoint them?
Yeah, for me, yeah. So exercise, food, the people that I hang around with. If I look at my best time with work is when I get up an extra hour earlier and I go through what I have to, who I need to speak to during the day, the activities that I need to tick off. So that I look at that as a kind of like a focus activity. If I go to bed late and I don't do that in the morning, that has a massive compounding impact on my week or my month or my quarter. But if I decide just to get up an extra hour earlier and not have any phone and scroll and do that and just go, right, let me get my, activities in order. Who do I need to do to call today? What do I have to do? That sets up my entire year for work.
Yeah, that's
And it's the
awesome.
same. If I go, right, I'm going to drop my son off at school early and I'm going to make sure I go to the gym. We can always use a decision to justify why we're not going to go to the gym. We all have plenty of things where we go, I'll go tomorrow. But if we go, no, that's non-negotiable, I'm going to go. You roll that forward. If I just turn up to the gym, I know I'll work out and I roll the clock forward 2 weeks. I look better. I've got more energy, and it compounds.
So
So
was there a
food.
trigger, James? Like the thing to get up an hour early, was there a trigger that made you make that decision? Do you remember?
Yeah, and I'm not perfect, right? I don't get this. I don't nail this all the time. I go through stages of really hitting it bang on, and I go through stages where I'm off the coach, and it's like, what the hell? I need to really work hard to get back on. But when I'm on it, it's because I look back and I'm kind of disappointed with myself or embarrassed with myself. So I look internally and I go, like, get your, SHIT in order. Because you're letting yourself, I'm letting myself down. I know what I'm capable of. I'm not performing. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I should be. And therefore I step up.
No, thanks for sharing. Look, so I'm thinking, I'm asking questions right now, thinking, huh, what were the decisions that I made and the habits that got created? And the ones that are coming up to me are the ones that pushed me. Recently, though, I'm thinking about the ones that are actually pulling me towards something much bigger. That's the connection I just made right now. What about you, Mary? Top 3 to 5
Well, it's a
habits.
good question. Yeah, it's a good question. And it has been compounding. And I think success begets success. And so when you do something like the working out piece started 20 years ago, I mean, I was kind of off and on before that, but the consistency of it, and then you're more intentional about eating. And so I think I'd like to frame it as making the decision that I recognize to be it, to bring my best to the world, I need to be at my best. And so the investment in being at my best would be like one decision, which is like kind of the combination of sleep, food, exercise, hydration, that kind of thing, right? That would be one area. The other area, James, I love what you said about relationships, that, it's very clear which relationships are uplifting and motivating and where, you feel like your best self and you can be your best self. So I'm not sure that I have made the decision at times to be like, this isn't serving me. And so I'm not going to invest in a relationship anymore. But more often than not, I just end up spending my energy and focus. I like just lean in towards the stuff that feels good and then naturally let go of the stuff that doesn't feel good. So the relationships, investing in learning and growth. It's like my favorite thing is to learn. So like Stell's, when you guys like, there's a whole world I don't understand about financial management. I want to learn about that. So James, when I ask the question, it's a genuine question. Stell's mentioning books. I want to like read all the books and listen to all the podcasts and stuff. And I naturally find myself integrating those things into the work we do. And then in the work, like making decision about the impact I want to have in the world, using my strengths and skills and passions to do the thing that I think matters. And that has netted so many incremental rewards. I started this company 5 years ago. Prior to that, I was, building the tools and skill set, in my other, jobs before I did that. And now I'm using those to do the thing I think matters, So I would say that it's like be at your best, learn and grow, and then like align who you are, what you care about. This is who I am and what I care about in the work that I do in the world and the impact I can have internally in our team and then with our clients and stuff. So I would say
Thanks.
there are those three themes.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. because you just made me connect something.
What's that?
Well, because I'm listening and I'm thinking, huh, was it always something that pushed me in order to create the habit? And a lot of things that are coming up in my mind are there's an element of obligation. Okay, so even as an athlete, it's I need to go to practice because my teammates are relying on me. But there's one time that there wasn't an element of obligation. So story time. I hated reading, like reading books, English literature,
Love
Shakespeare.
that.
Right. I mean, it was like torture for me. And if I didn't need to read, I didn't. If I was obligated to read, I would. You know, for school, no problem. It wasn't until 2004, somewhere there. One of my colleagues, really good friend, Vitu Bon, I saw him after a couple years, and he looked different, right? He was speaking differently, and he said to me, I'm doing all these personal development courses, and I'm reading quite a bit now. And so we started talking about what he's reading, and Think and Grow Rich was the book that literally changed his life. And I'm thinking, ah, get rich quick scheme book, like why would I even want to read that? But after the conversation, and then after I saw the impact that it made on him, so what he said is every year at the end of the year, he would read Think and Grow Rich and set his goals for the year, and it basically energized his goals. And I'm like, what the heck does a book have to do with energizing your goals, right? And I thought, okay, so if V2 is going to do it, I'm going to do it too. So it was the very first book I read. And I, again,
Really?
yeah, it was not the first book I read. First book I read because I decided to read it
You
for
wanted
me.
to.
Okay. And then every year I did the same thing. I would rethink for 9 years. I'd rethink and grow rich. And then I'd write my goals and intentions. So here's the habit of reading. Okay. Then it became a habit of reading 10 pages a day of, well, you're seeing my, well, the listeners, they're not going to see behind me is the library. But one of the
It's a
questions,
lot of books. Like how
yeah,
many? 1,000 books back there?
there's a lot. So James asked, have you read all those? And I said, yeah, I actually did. And believe it or not, all these books were read under the premise of 10 pages per night.
Do you
10
still do
pages.
that?
Still do it. 10 pages, 10 pages. But I listen more now on Audible. But it's a constant, let's get the learning and the growth because it's part of my value systems. But what's interesting is I have to think about it now. And yeah, so my whole thing, what was the catalyst that made me choose or decide on the habit? And reading was one of the catalysts, was the beginning of growth and learning for me too. So, and it hasn't
You needed a
stopped.
why to
I
do it.
needed the
Maybe it
why.
wasn't your own why before that.
Yeah, interesting. Really
I like
interesting.
it. I like it. So, James, how about you? You asked us that question.
What in terms of what are the best
What are your
decisions that I've made that
five?
have compounded? I mean, it's exercise for sure because that gives me energy. Getting up an hour earlier. The food that I eat, because I love to eat cakes and desserts and anything sugary,
Crisps.
but I feel crap
No,
after.
crisps.
No, crisps is my wife. I'm not her.
Okay. Thin
I just
line.
like when you say crisps. I was trying to get you to say
Crisps.
it. Thank you.
But food and sugars is a big thing. And listening to the right type of kind of podcasts or content or books because it focuses me on what I want to achieve. Sitting down and writing goals, hanging out with the right people, going to bed, that 1 hour early, getting up that, if I can get up at 5 in the morning and do that and exercise, meditate, do some stretching, move around. I'm putting myself in the best possible position to achieve the things that I want to achieve. And it definitely compounds without a shadow of a doubt, because it's not just saying that, the whole point of compounding is that it's growing from the new position. And then the new position, it grows from the new position, and then it grows from the new position. Now, of course, if you fall off, you can come back, but you don't always come back to where you started. So if you make really good decisions for the next 8 months of your life, and you say, look, this year I'm just going to do three things, but I'm going to do it, no excuses, I'm going to nail it. And then next year you say, oh, I'm going to add a new three things on top of them three things. them new three things that you're doing is you're adding them onto an already a new improved version of you. You're not just adding them three things on. It's different than if you just started with six.
Also,
it's adding it onto a new th- Yeah.
Right. And then even if the result isn't what you want, you're carrying with you the experience of that decision and
right.
that learning. And so,
right.
you know, in the snakes and ladder world, sometimes it's just like bad luck. Like you say, like the markets aren't always going to behave the way you want them to, but your decision and your strategy and your learning is taking you to a different place, regardless of what the result is. And so the next time you go there, you'll have better results,
yeah.
right? Yeah. I like that.
I just had an idea.
Oh, okay.
Go.
So I don't know how much time we have left, but
4 minutes.
Okay, so this is my idea. a lot of things are popping. So one thing that I have a habit of, and I want to share with both of you and the listeners, is I make a habit whenever I am in a course or a book or I'm reading something, the habit of a call to action. So this is what I want to share with both of you and the listeners. What's going to be the call to action in terms around the topic that we talked about today so that the anybody that's listening gets the value of understanding either A, awareness of any decisions that they've made in terms of habits, and B, if something is resonating in your mind right now, like with me, what call to action are you going to put in place in terms of the next habit to create a compounding effect for you?
I love it because I've been thinking, I learned from you guys, and I've been thinking about one thing I'm going to change as you like that I was going to share. And that's the perfect segue to it. So I call myself overcommitted and easily distracted. I think I have like a million ideas in a day and there's a good strength there, but the blind spot is focus. And so some of what you guys were describing in terms of your habits and decisions around that help you stay focused on what's important. That is an area, and I don't know the specific decision, but the call to action for me is I've got pretty good sort of habits based on decisions I've made around being my best, investing in myself and growth and doing what I think matters. I said yesterday to my team, I need to work on being my most effective person because I need to get more. And a lot of people would say I do a lot in every day, which I do, but I want to get more out of the time I invest, which means greater focus on the things that matter and not allowing myself to be sort of swayed. So that's my next area of development. And it's my fourth theme. If I had three before, now I have four, which is, you know, the seven habits of highly effective people, that kind of thing. So
that's
thank
awesome.
You for asking that. It's awesome.
That's an easy one, Mary. And we'll do another chat about that, but that's an easy
okay,
one
good.
To solve.
Okay, because I don't have those. I need
this
it.
Is this the next topic?
Yeah, maybe, eh?
It can be.
Focus.
All right. Do you guys have anything else you want to add? Yeah. Do you have an area?
Commitment to the next habit, James.
No, I think just to finish on that, I think, you know, it's worth hearing from the listeners just in terms of some of the topics. But make a list of maybe the top 10 things that you would want to add into your life or maybe remove or change, and then pick the first three that you think will have the greatest impact, and then put a structure around what can I do on a daily basis or weekly basis to ensure that I do it. It doesn't need to be perfect, but within, you know, 90%, to just say, look, non-negotiables, this is what's going to happen, and run it for a period of time. They always say you need, you know, 3 weeks for something to become subconscious or a habit, but run it, and then, you know, look at adding maybe something else in addition to that down the line, and just keep and let us know how you get on.
Yeah, we'd
and,
like that.
I think I think we're less decisions away than we think from an even more extraordinary life than what we currently have.
Love it.
I'm going to say, again, I've said it before, how much both of you have inspired me in terms of my thinking, mindset, and opportunities. And what I just realized right now, which I committed to yesterday because the contract signed, is I'm writing my book. And my commitment to the habit is to either write or speak into my AI, which I do every day, but specifically around my story to inspire ideas. That way, when I have a meeting with the publisher, we can put some amazing content in the book and for the purposes of making an impact, making a difference, and supporting the mission that we're on, even with this podcast. So thank you both.
Thank you. It's a fun one. Alrighty.
All right. We'll catch you all next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at Meaningful Mischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.